This week on Vaticano, join the Vatican in marking the International Day of Prayer Against Human Trafficking. Discover how the Alpha Course Initiative brings Christ's timeless message into today's world. Plus, in celebration of the Jubilee, EWTN has launched a special Jubilee travel app, allowing pilgrims to discover hidden gems of the Eternal City. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. More than 30,000 people flocked to Rome over the weekend for the second major event of the Holy Year, the Jubilee of the Armed Forces, Police, and Security Personnel. The event was dedicated to recognizing their service of bringing hope to people across the globe. At a press conference before this Jubilee began, the Vatican explained that this event calls, above all, for a reminder of peace, especially for places struggling with violence today.
And of course, members of their families also.
Among the speakers, Lieutenant Colonel Ozren Lukenda of the Croatian Navy explained how this Jubilee Year of Hope ties into the noble peacekeeping efforts of military operations.
The conduct of peacekeeping military operation has a noble cause, and it brings hope to all those affected by atrocities, because their wish is peace and nothing but the peace.
Delegations from more than 100 countries, including Colombia, Australia, Ukraine, the United States, and Indonesia, participated in various Jubilee activities in Rome, including a pilgrimage to the Holy Door at St. Peter's Basilica. The event culminated in Holy Mass, presided over by Pope Francis on Sunday, during which he reminded the armed forces and authorities that the Lord asks them to do as He does.
Jesus looks with compassion at those men. Let us never forget this, the compassion of God. God's three attitudes are closeness, compassion, and tenderness. Let us not forget, God is near, God is tender, and God is always compassionate.
Due to breathing difficulties, Pope Francis, who has been battling bronchitis for a long time, had to suddenly interrupt his homily. He asked his master of ceremonies, Archbishop Diego Ravelli, to continue reading his homily instead of him. In his homily, the Pope thanked the authorities for boarding our storm-tossed boats, offering us protection and encouraging us to stay our course, just as the Lord does in the Gospel. The Jubilee for People with Disabilities will take place on April the 28th and 29th as part of the Holy Year celebrations. It's a moment to reaffirm that every person has a place in the Church, not despite their differences, but because of them. Pope Francis, who has been using a wheelchair since 2022 due to knee pain, has consistently emphasized the importance of recognizing the immense value that people with disabilities bring to the Church.
Pope Francis sees disability as part of the ordinary way of being church, the everyday existence of people with disabilities in the church is part of who we are as church.
Accogliere e ascoltare.
Pope Francis told us that all people with disabilities have an obligation to be evangelists, going out evangelizing other people. So he's teaching us that a person with a disability no longer is a person to be helped. They are a person who has to go out and help others and evangelize others.
People with more profound intellectual disabilities will present themselves as creative faith, people of faith. They will express their belief in God through body language before the Eucharist, through manifesting the gifts of the Holy Spirit following their confirmation in ways that are not verbal, that haven't been learnt, that are natural expressions of the way in which God's grace has touched their life.
As priests, we can be rather inclined to sort of get up on a soapbox and sort of preach at people, and it's so important to actually listen.
The two-day Jubilee for People with Disabilities will include the passage through the Holy Door, prayers, and a special encounter with the Holy Father.
Welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. Catholics should help uphold the dignity of all people when it comes to migration and increasing cases of deportation. In an open letter to the U.S. bishops, Pope Francis commended their work with migrants and refugees. He supports their efforts, but he also emphasized the importance of pastoral care for those facing displacement. The Holy Father urged Catholics and people of goodwill not to give in to narratives discriminating our, as he called them, refugee brothers and sisters. The Vatican has included Saint Teresa of Calcutta in the general Roman calendar with her feast day set for September the 5th. Cardinal Arthur Roach, head of the Office for Divine Worship, described Mother Teresa as a beacon of hope, small in stature, but great in love. He highlighted her service to human life, especially the abandoned and despised. The decree, which includes Latin text for a liturgy of the hours and Mass, establishes her feast day as an optional memorial commemorating her death in 1997. Pope Francis has said that defending the rights of indigenous peoples is both a matter of justice and key to ensuring a sustainable future for all. In a message to participants at the 7th Global Meeting of the Indigenous Peoples Forum in Rome, he emphasized that land, water, and food are not mere commodities, but the very basis of life and the link between these peoples and nature. He added that protecting these rights is not only a matter of justice, but also a guarantee for a sustainable future for us all. French President Emmanuel Macron hosted the Artificial Intelligence Action Summit in Paris, and he received an open message from Pope Francis urging him to safeguard human control over AI decisions. The Pope reminded the participants of the summit that love is worth more than intelligence, expressing concern that reliance on data and algorithms could distort truth and hinder creativity. The Pope emphasized that only the human heart can reveal the meaning of our existence. During the Jubilee of the Armed Forces, Archbishop Gallagher addressed military and security personnel, emphasizing that peace requires the courage to build an order based on justice, charity, and the common good. Speaking at the conference titled Being a Military to Achieve Peace, the Archbishop, who is the Vatican's equivalent to a foreign minister, said that peace is also about acting before violence erupts, rejecting the dehumanizing logic of conflict, and striving for true reconciliation. As always, thank you so much for watching this week's Vaticano Updates in Rome. Andreas Tonhauser for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. The feast day of Saint Josephine Bakhita, survivor and patron saint of human trafficking victims, on February the 8th, shines a light on the ongoing crisis of human trafficking. In 2015, Pope Francis introduced this day as the International Day of Prayer and Awareness Against Human Trafficking. Talitha Kum, a worldwide network led by religious sisters combating human trafficking, arranged a week-long schedule of events around Rome to raise awareness to the problem.
So this year, in the light of
Sister Abby Avellino, the international coordinator for Talitha Kum, explains that the attack on human dignity is happening at a much bigger scale than we could ever imagine.
Human trafficking, as you know, is a hidden crime, but according to the report, the UNODC report, there are estimated 50 million living in a modern-day slavery or human trafficking. 12 million of these are children, still the victims of human trafficking. So this is how big the crime is, and there's a lot of forms of human trafficking, especially in sexual exploitation, labor exploitation, child marriage, organ removal. These are the forms of human trafficking.
Pauline Akinyi, survivor and mother of three, lives to tell the story of how there's hope after abuse. She's found new creation in her Christian faith and healing in becoming a mother, even when two of her children came as a result of her abuse.
I went through sexual abuse at the age of 16. At the age of 19, I went through domestic violence. And at the age of 23, I went through labor exploitation, which also involved sexual exploitation. Something that really gives me courage. I write a lot of poetry. I pray a lot. When I can't talk to anyone, I take a chair, put in front of me, and tell God, I'm here. Now tell me what you want us to do. This is a partnership between me and you. What can we do? I do this for them. I do this for my children. I do this so that they never have to see a world that I saw. They never have to go abused. So yeah, I don't know, but my children are just my heroes.
Multiple groups of volunteers, young people, and survivors gathered outside the Basilica of Santa Maria in Trastevere to perform a flash mob, drawing public attention and speaking up for those who are silent.
I want to say that human trafficking happens everywhere. It's all about us as a community to understand what human trafficking is, because it's happening next door and we actually don't know about it.
How God always tells us that to be an instrument of His love, to be an instrument of spreading His like mercy to everyone. I think it's really important for us, the believers especially, to be instrument for other people.
We are responsible to keep talking about it. We should always consider ourselves on the other part. So if we are lucky and we are not abused by trafficking, at least we should say their name. We should stand with them.
The demonstration was followed by an ecumenical prayer vigil, encouraging all Christians to pray for the strength and endurance in what can feel like a constant uphill battle against evil. Human trafficking takes many forms that people overlook. One on the rise that may not be familiar to many is the modern practice of surrogacy. Italy is one of the few countries that considers surrogacy not only illegal, but punishes it as a crime. Professor of Philosophy of Law, Laura Palazzani from Rome's Lumsa University, believes that some cases of surrogacy should be classified as human trafficking.
It depends on what's the meaning of human trafficking. If you consider human trafficking as sort of exploitation of a vulnerable person and commercialization of a body of a vulnerable person, it can be considered in some circumstances. If you think about use of surrogacy in some countries such as Africa, for example, where there are baby farms, where there are women that are not really aware of what they are doing and they are exploited, I would say it is a sort of human trafficking.
For Pope Francis, it's more of a moral issue than a legal one. He considers it a violation of human dignity, calling it despicable and deplorable.
The last document was Dignitas Infinita, where Pope Francis talked about the meaning, the intrinsic meaning of a dignity of a human being. And there is a paragraph dedicated to the applications. And in the applications, he talks about human trafficking on one sense and also on surrogacy. And in that paragraph, there is a strong evidence made on the dignity of a woman and the dignity of a child.
Pope Francis welcomed Talitha Kum at the Vatican during their meeting, praising their work and encouraging them to turn to St. Bakita as their source of strength and reason to hope that there is freedom at the end of suffering. Is the message of Christ timeless? How can we share faith in a way that truly speaks to today's world? One powerful way is through the Alpha Course, an initiative that has spread across Catholic parishes worldwide, transforming lives and strengthening evangelization efforts. Originally developed in the Anglican Church by Reverend Nicky Gumbel, Alpha has become a bridge for Christian unity and a tool for engaging young people in faith. We sat down with Nicky Gumbel to explore what makes Alpha so effective, how it captures the hearts of young people, and his mission to unite Christians in proclaiming the gospel.
Is the method of conveying this message to the world today, is that changing?
We must never change the message. Sometimes churches are tempted to think, oh, the message is not acceptable to our culture. We need to change the message. But if you change the message, it loses its power. But that message comes to us in a cultural packaging. And if the packaging puts people off, then they won't hear the gospel. So we have to work out what is the right way to convey the unchanging message of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen from the dead, in a way that's relevant to people today, especially to young people today.
How are you doing it?
You know, I didn't invent it, I didn't create it, but I inherited a course that we found all these young people. The average age was 27 of the people coming. The vast majority of guests were aged between 18 and 35, and they were encountering Jesus. And last night we went to Philip Neri's house, and it was just amazing to go to that place, because St. Philip Neri has always been a huge hero of mine. But I thought how similar what he was doing is to what Alpha is. And central to Alpha is the Holy Spirit. And you look at that heart with the fire coming out of it in that house. And that's what it's all about. It's experiencing God's love. And young people are hungry for spiritual experience. Atheism has pretty much died in the UK.
What difference has Jesus made for you?
He's made a big difference to me. I've got friends again. I love my family again. Yeah.
Your Alpha Course is really for Christian churches. You're a fan, as you said, of St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri was waving goodbye to priests who were educated here at his time and going to England, basically dying there as well in a very difficult time. Where are we on Christian unity?
I think things really shifted. I was hugely influenced. In 1990, I went to a conference at which Father Raniero Cantalamessa was speaking, now Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa. And he spoke about the importance of Christian unity. And from that moment onwards, I have done everything to preach about what he was talking about, which is really from John 17, that Jesus prayed for the unity of the church in order that the world will believe. And how are we going to get the message out unless we're united? And because a friend of mine who's not a Christian said this. He said, look, he said, you, I don't think he even knows whether I'm a Catholic or an Anglican. He said, you Catholics, you Anglicans, you believe you've got these church built, you both have church buildings, you both have sing these hymns, you both do something with bread and wine. He said, whatever it is you disagree about, and I've no idea what it is, it's got nothing to do with my life. But while you're fighting each other, I'm not interested. And I think there's so many people out there who just look at a disunited church and think, I'm not interested. But let's focus for now on the absolute core, the heart of the gospel, and so that we can communicate that to a world that desperately needs to hear about Jesus.
How does the digital age influence that? Does that change the concept?
Technology is not the same as human encounter. What people need is an encounter with Jesus and the church. The church is the greatest community on planet Earth. And all young people, but everyone on the planet is searching for three things. They're searching for love, they're searching for meaning and purpose, and they're searching to belong. And the church is the greatest place of belonging.
Nicky Gumbel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
Hello, we're standing in front of St. Peter's Basilica, and what a place to be because we have launched the EWTN Travel Jubilee app for you and all pilgrims coming to the Eternal City. What can you do with this app? Well, it's perfect for finding hidden gems, but also information for the key sites, such as places where they have the holy doors at the major papal basilicas. And not only that, you can watch EWTN content, videos from EWTN Vaticano, and you can purchase tickets. That's right, tickets for the Vatican Museums and get 72-hour passes, such as the Omnia card. Thanks to our sponsorship with the Diocese of Rome, we made it possible to bring this information to you this Jubilee year. In this episode of Vaticano, we're previewing one of the places that we are bringing you to in the EWTN Travel Jubilee app, and that is the Church of Sant'Agnese in Agone, next to Piazza Navona. Our guide is Father John D'Orazio with the Rome Diocese Pilgrimage Center.
We find ourselves in a hidden gem inside the city of Rome. We're down beneath the Church of St. Agnes at Piazza Navona, which is of great significance because it's the place of the martyrdom of St. Agnes, who was one of the first martyrs of Christianity. And this is the place of her martyrdom. We're down below the Stadium of Domitian, in the area where there was a brothel, and St. Agnes had been thrown into that brothel because she refused to sacrifice to the goddess of virgins, Vesta. She had chosen to become a virgin herself because she wanted to be betrothed to Christ. The legend has it that the son of the prefect of Rome had asked her hand in marriage, but she had the audacity to refuse him because she didn't want to betray her promise to Christ in consecrating her virginity to Christ. When she was martyred, she was thrown into the flames at first, but the flames didn't devour her. As we see the depiction of flames, it's kind of hard to make out here, but there's flames and then the cross up above these flames. See that this is a very ancient space from the floor, these mosaic floors that are typical of the ancient churches in Rome. This was the ancient chapel, then the medieval chapel, and then the church that we see today was built on top of this. The main church that we see today goes to the time of Baroque Rome. We're in the 17th century, a time when churches are embellished in a manner such as to create and inspire awe. Behind us here is a bas relief, or alt relief actually, a statue of St. Agnes, depicted in the scene of her martyrdom with the flames that aren't able to touch her. They depart to one side and the other, and before she's finally martyred as a lamb. Here we have a relic of Saint Agnes, her skull that was brought over from the catacombs. She was buried in the catacombs on Via Nomentana, but this relic, as a remembrance of her martyrdom, was brought back to this church that was built over the place of her martyrdom.
Thank you for watching this travel video. If you haven't yet, please download the EWTN Travel Jubilee app to find this place and other hidden gems around the Eternal City. And if you can't make it to Rome for the Jubilee, feel free to download our app anyways. It's a great way to make a virtual pilgrimage at home or abroad. Thank you and buon viaggio.